The Afternoon Drive on Impact 103. Come alive.
And also being Nelson Mandela Day, I've been loving hearing all the ads that have been coming through, all the small businesses that's been making mention of the services that they offer. Thank you so much for sending through your voice notes. It's great to be able to know what else is out there available for us to enjoy. But right now, we're changing gears a little bit. I've got guests in studio with me that are doing absolutely, have done and are doing absolutely phenomenal. And I think it's only important that we find encouragement from them. And I think I remember saying this with the last guest I had about 2 weeks ago, saying, when I saw what this person was doing, I was convicted asking myself, Khosi, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with the access that you have, the opportunities that you have? And my next guest made me feel exactly that. Wawa and Ona join me here on the Afternoon Drive to talk about how they've moved from classroom to boardroom. Yes, that's exactly what I said. Wawa, Una, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. How are you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm good. Una, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good, good, good. Look, from classroom to boardroom, that's a couple of years in between there. You know, most people kind of need to go from classroom to lecture hall and then to first job and then second job. The boardroom, they're seeing it during the work interview, but that's not the case with you. Before we talk about the journey, I want to know, where does entrepreneurship start for you? Because you started this at a young age. I'll bring it to you all.
I think it started like during COVID.
Yeah.
So like personally me, I wanted to be like, you know, a doctor. And then the whole COVID thing happened with the gyms and everything. And you know, people like dying and whatever. So I was like, it's not really my type of thing. But I've always wanted, you know, the lavish luxury lifestyle and knew what I wanted. So
wait, you just said that passing. So you wanted to be a doctor and you wanted that whole lavish luxury lifestyle. She's focused. She's just like, I want a career, but also I want lavish and luxury. Yes, please carry on.
Yeah, so after that, since I knew what I wanted, yeah. Then the whole entrepreneurship thing just came in. Like, our parents helped us getting into that space.
Yeah, and I mean, it's quite something to start a business and then it's like for 3 days, because that's what some schools do. You have entrepreneur day, you sell your muffins, and then it's done, but you don't have the responsibility. Did you ever feel like I'm suddenly an adult because I'm an entrepreneur at a young age?
Yeah, I think it was it was a lot to deal with, but if you actually wanted to go into that journey, it's not as difficult as if you're forced into the journey.
Yeah, that is very true. For someone who's listening, I know the answer, but I'd love for them to hear from you. How old were you actually when you started your very first business? Just help them understand what the setting is over here.
11 and 15.
Yes. I mean, at 15 years old, I was running out to the house to go catch Dragon Balls. Okay, maybe not at 15, at like 11 maybe. I was running out to go catch Dragon Ball Z. And here you are starting a business. What was your first business?
So we started first with balloons.
Yeah.
So it was just balloons and treats. And it started like in December.
Yeah.
And then because we thought, you know, it's December season, kids will be buying, parents will be buying for their kids, parties and everything. But then with the environment and everything, as well as the expenses to keep with the balloon business, it became too much. So then we decided to just leave the balloon business out.
So what made you start it? Because it must be quite something for you to go, hey, let's start a business, to see an opportunity and say, let's start it. Did they say your pocket money would only come from what you sell? What happened? Well, tell us the truth. I know mommy's in the room, but maybe mommy said no more pocket money. You need to make your own plan.
So they did come up with the idea of us starting our own business.
Okay.
And it being a balloon business. But we went along with that idea purely because we thought parties are happening every second day. Everyone needs balloons for whatever reason they need it for. So we're like, okay, easy money. Okay, let's do it. But then
you realize it's not working.
It's not working. It didn't work.
So where to from there? Now you realize, and I think a lot of business people get to this place where they realize that their idea isn't working as well as what they thought. And so many businesses kind of die from there. They don't survive the next. How did you survive the next? And what was the next?
So with us, I think it was a bit better because it was balloons and treats at that time. So we just stopped treats. We just stopped balloons. We didn't stop treats. So then we carried on the treats, and then we brought in flowers as well into the business because it was kind of something that like I enjoyed doing and wanted to make a business out of. So that's how we continued doing that.
So then you moved from the treats, and then you added flowers into the mix of things. Did you ever, when the balloons thing stopped working and you realized that it's too costly environmentally, it wasn't working, and it wasn't as big, it cost too much money to even upkeep, did you ever feel like you failed? Did you ever consider saying, okay, let's stop, this is not working anymore?
Yes, I know I did. But I guess with the support of everyone, my sister, my family, it was a bit easier for you to say, okay, we have to carry on. Because as she said, we want to live that lavish lifestyle.
So. I love the goal here. Lavish lifestyle seems to be the goal. So where's the business now? What are you guys up to now? Because you've moved from balloons. And this is where the classroom starts, because you were in your classroom. You've moved from balloons, you've kept the treats, you've added the flowers. There's a book in between. What's happening now with Wawa and Ona?
So, yeah, we're just doing the balloons and treats. And so with the flowers, so now we're like, every 2 weeks we supply our church with flowers. So that is also like a big source of our income. And then we also have treats, and then we also have a podcast as well.
Yeah.
And then it's also our book as well.
So I'm struggling to follow, and it's so easy. It sounds so straightforward because you're passionate about it. For you, it feels like you move from one passion to another passion. You discovered another passion and you just kept going from there. But from another person's perspective, it's kind of like, and this is where I come in. I'm going, how do you move from starting a business to then saying, hey, I want to be able to add another responsibility, which is podcasting, to add another layer, which is writing a book in the midst of writing school? How do you find that balance where you're still being a child in responsibilities that almost make you feel like you're being an adult?
I think you need to create a schedule for yourself. You have to know that, let's say past 12, now you're a child, you have to do your own thing, and business is now a bit more laid back. And also we share the responsibilities, so it's a bit easier for us to balance being a child and also being a business owner. And as far as school is concerned, we do homeschooling, so it's a bit more laid back, I would say, because you don't have to get up early in the morning and then only come back at 3 o'clock. So it's a bit more, we can work on our own time since we do online schooling. So that's what I would say.
When was the last time you almost quit?
I'd say 2021, so 2 years ago, before we started the flowers business. Because like my parents had told me, okay, so the balloon business is clearly not going anywhere. So you have to decide now, like, are you going to find something else you want to add to the business? Or are you just going to quit and then let, you know, my sister carry on alone and then have this lavish lifestyle, but then I'm just going to stay back or something like
that. And I mean, it must be hard to be able to pivot from that. What inspires you and encourages you on a daily basis, or, you know, to keep growing your business, to not staying in one lane? Because I think for a lot of people, it's easy to say, I make balloons and treats and that's it. Okay, balloons didn't work, I'm staying with treats. This is what I know, this is what I love, and this is what I'll do. What inspires you to say, what else is there? Hey, what else can I add? What inspires you to add more instead of just staying in one lane?
I think the world is changing. New ideas are coming up. Treats can be as... it won't be as useful as it was like 2 years ago, because maybe 2 years ago, people wanted lots of gift packages. People wanted get well soon packages. That's when your business will be doing well. But like, let's say now, not as many people are sick, maybe. Not as many people need those treat packages. So the world is moving, and you also have to move with it. You can't stay in one spot.
Yeah. Let's talk about your podcast, because I think that's where also there's a lot of wisdom that comes in. I've seen some of the guests that you guys have had, and I'm just like, excuse me, like, gee whiz, you know, at such a young age, you're having such important conversations with people that have pioneered ahead of you. What inspired you to start the podcast? And many people, I mean, there's so many people that are listening now that want to start a podcast, e.g. me. But you're kind of going, I don't have enough knowledge or enough experience or enough equipment to start. What inspired you to say, I'm going to ignore all of that and start it anyway?
So we actually went like on a business excursion and like visited another podcaster. So then we just, you know, thought of the idea of doing podcasting. And also like, we just realized, you know, we don't want to stick to one thing, if that makes sense. So we'd rather do a lot of things and see if they work out or not, instead of sticking to one thing and then it fails, you know.
Yeah, and then you decided, you know what, let's actually expand.
Yeah.
What's something that stood out or advice that you found from your podcast that you thought, ooh, this is actually really, really good advice that this guest or this person is actually sharing with us? Maybe there's something that stood out? Nothing that you can think of from the top of your head?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Because I think I've always loved how in those platforms, in the podcast setting, you're able to share so much knowledge and gain so much knowledge as well. But now, the all-important question. Well, two questions I still have for you that I'm curious about. It's the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, writing is such a big thing to do, you know? Like, writing is such a big thing. But you went on top of everything, still then added and say, hey, we want to be able to pin this down for the book. Who was the target audience when you wrote the book that you're saying, we want them to read this? We want them to be able to have this.
So we think the youth. Because the youth, you know, they have so many talents, but unfortunately, I personally feel like they're using their talents on the wrong things.
Mm.
So it's just for the youth and, yeah, for the youth.
Yeah, yeah. Is this like a book of what you wish you knew when you started?
Yes, it is. Some part of it is what we wish we had known before we started. And also some part of it is also just showing them that our journey, because people make business seem like as if, oh, now you have a shop, everything is settled for you because now you have a shop. But actually, that's not true, because you still have the expenses of where your shop is, the rent of that shop and everything. So we wanted to show like the deeper side of business from our perspective also.
Yeah. What was one chapter in the book that you felt like this was the most challenging to write on? Because it made you know, when we speak about, you say the lavish lifestyle, which is the goal for you, which is important to have a goal. It's easy for someone to then make it appear like what you're saying, that everything is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But in exposing that it's tough, that you've had to realize that this is not working, or we're spending a bit too much, we're paying ourselves a bit too much, it requires vulnerability. It requires you to be open and honest about that you made a bad decision. Was there a chapter in the book that was very difficult because it had to show you as, okay, I made a bad decision here?
So there's a chapter called The Sister Affair. So basically in the chapter, when we're beginning the business, basically, you know, you get money, right? And
yeah,
at that time, we didn't really have a bank account. So the money would always go to my sister, and sometimes we'd use the money on our own personal expenses.
Oh, one of those, I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
It back.
And it never came back.
I took out a
50
and I'll put it back. It's a 50. And it never came back. Did she pay it back now?
No.
Okay, wait, who used the money?
We both did.
Yeah.
It was, you have to make a deal with each other so that
it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you take a 50, I'll also take a 50.
Exactly.
Okay, so you owe the business currently.
Well, it owes us, because as much as we did take from it, we did also invest in it also. More than we took from it.
Don't rope me into your scheme of things. But girls, I think what's even more important, that I've always been looking forward to asking you this, is you've achieved so much in a span of, what, 3 years? Approaching 3 years, because you said it was at the end of 2020. And you've been able to pioneer so much business-wise. You've been able to pioneer so much in different spaces. You've grown, I'm sure, individually so much because of the work that you've done. What's the dream? What's the goal? What's a passion that you feel like, man, if I can do that, lavish lifestyle is coming right now.
For me, I think property investing. Like, I'm very big and I really want to do property investing.
Yeah. What about you, Ona?
I agree in that. Also, I also want to do property investing, like have multiple properties, rent them out to people. I think once that happens, then I know that I'm set. Yeah.
Before we wrap up our time together, which, I mean, I'll probably listen to this podcast a couple of times just to get myself off my feet. There's a business, or there's a person right now who's listening to you who works 8 to 4 and has a family, or is an unemployed person, or the circumstances are that of, you can't just start a business, you know, and they listening to you now and they're thinking, well, chances are your parents were just giving you the money and the whole time you just needed to make it work, you know. What do you say to them to encourage them to actually have the courage to take that first step?
I would say you need to believe in yourself, but also while believing in yourself, you need to work hard to get to where you want to be, because, you know, sometimes believing in yourself, you don't want to be too unrealistic. But at the same time, I say be as unrealistic as possible, because, you know, someone's term of being unrealistic is can be, you know, your own reality. So I would say be as unrealistic as possible, but also work hard to get to that point.
Yeah. Ona, what would you say to them?
I think that if you don't have the money or the in the circumstance to start like a big business yet, start small. Get money from that small business that you've started. Don't start already getting a shop, because that's what people mostly, that's the mistake people do. They think that starting a business means you have to go and get a shop. You have to have this big everything. You have to have everything sorted already. But actually, in reality, you don't have to do that. You can start by just selling something at the market, selling something on the streets. It's okay. And then you build your way up from that. And as my sister said, dream as unrealistic as possible, because your dreams are always valid.
Oh, man. Oh, girls, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Congratulations for what you've achieved so far. Congratulations for what you're still going to achieve. And when you get to that lavish lifestyle, please just remember the guy at Impact 103 and be like, hey, I remember you. Yeah. And we really, really root for you, because I think it's so important that not just business owners are knowing that it's possible across the board, but for young people to be able to know that it's possible. For parents alike, and aunts and grandpas and uncles can be able to know that they should support their young people and be able to know that they too have the capabilities and the capacity to start a business. Before I let you go, where can people find more details about your business, your book, your podcast? Yay, next thing, your property, your hair things, your beauty things. Where can people find more details about it?
So
you looked at each other like, he just gave us a business idea. Yes, where can they find you?
So for our book, you can find us on Amazon and on our publisher's website, MFH Publishers. And then you can also get a signed copy directly from us. The number is 069-434-4221. Mm-hmm. And then you can also follow our podcast. The YouTube is Becoming WWO. The Instagram is Becoming with Wawa and Ona. You can also follow our personal journey, Wawa X Ona, on Instagram and on TikTok.
Oh, fantastic. Wawa Ona, thank you so much. It has been great to have you here. And you want to make sure that you do yourself a favor. Go check them out on all social media platforms. They're doing some fantastic stuff at a young age. So you've been putting off for far too long. I think it's time for you to get up and get it all started.
Impact 103, Afternoon Drive.